Here are several misconceptions about certain Bible verses, events, and doctrines. Please read and listen carefully. First misconception, it is often said that at Jesus' second advent, he will physically return to the earth. That is incorrect. Acts 1:9-11, and after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were watching, and a cloud took him up, out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, then behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them, and they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." Many Bible teachers and pastors say that this verse says that Jesus will return to earth in the same way as you have watched him go into heaven, except there is no mention of earth or of Jesus setting foot back on the earth at this time. It does say that Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. Taken up, into heaven, will come, back, in the same way, as, he went, into heaven. It is not about a landing place. It is about the ascension and the return. How can we be certain? Matthew 24:29-31, but immediately after the tribulation of those days the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet blast, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Many Bible teachers and pastors say this is not Jesus' second coming because he does not step on the earth. But this is his second appearing, or coming. Clearly he appears in the sky, all tribes of the earth will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky. Please note, Matthew 24:30-31, the phrases "the Son of Man" and "clouds of heaven" are capitalized. This highlights the significance of Jesus' return and his divine nature. The capitalization serves to draw attention to the key elements of the prophecy regarding his second coming. Revelation 19:11-16, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many crowns, and he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the sup/sup wine press of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords." Notice, heaven opened, and he, Jesus, sat on a white horse, and the armies which are in heaven, were following him, and a sharp sword comes from his mouth so he may strike down the nations and rule them. Jesus will wage this war and execute his wrath from the heavens, and the beast and his armies will be on the earth. Jesus and his armies are in the heavens. This is the Battle of Armageddon. Please take note of the sequence of these end time events. These events originate in heaven and are poured out onto the earth. The first six bowls of wrath, Revelation 16:1-12. The Battle of Armageddon, Revelation 16:13-16. The seventh bowl of wrath, Revelation 16:17-21. The doom of Babylon, the mother of great harlots, Revelation 17:1-13. Victory of the Lamb of God, Revelation 17:14-18. The fourfold hallelujah, Revelation 19:1-6. Marriage of the Lamb, Revelation 19:7-10. The coming of Christ, Revelation 19:11-19. Doom of the beast and the false prophet, Revelation 19:20-21. Satan bound, Revelation 21. This even takes place on the earth. The thousand years, Revelation 22:6. The millennium in the Bible refers to a future period of 1,000 years during which Jesus Christ is prophesied to reign on earth, characterized by peace and righteousness. This time is often associated with the fulfillment of God's promises and the ultimate restoration of creation. The millennium, also known as the Millennial Kingdom, is the 1,000-year reign of Jesus after the tribulation and before the great white throne judgment of the wicked. During the millennium, Jesus will reign as King over Israel and all the nations of the world, Isaiah 2:4, 42:1. the world will live in peace, Isaiah 11:6-9, 32:18, Satan will be bound, Revelation 21:3, and, at the beginning, everyone will worship God, Isaiah 2:2-3. The purpose of the 1,000-year reign is to fulfill various promises God made to the world. Some of these promises, called covenants, were given specifically to Israel. Others were given to Jesus, the nations of the world, and creation. Jesus' 1,000-year reign will be a time of promises kept. These events originate in heaven and are executed on the earth. Satan freed and then doomed, Revelation 27-10. Judgment at the white throne of God, Revelation 20:11-15. These events originate in the new heaven and are lived out on the new earth. The new heaven and earth, Revelation 21:1-9. The new Jerusalem, Revelation 21:10-27. The second misconception, many Bible teachers and pastors will say and Christians will believe that, 1, there is nothing left to happen from prophetic scriptures before Jesus returns the rapture occurs. This is incorrect. 2 Thessalonians 2:1-4, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, regarding the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit, or a message, or a letter as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. No one is to deceive you in any way. For it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Notice, regarding the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, the rapture, it will not come unless the 1. Apostasy comes first, which is probably now beginning, 2. The man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, is revealed, and he, the Antichrist, takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. The third misconception, many Bible teachers and pastors will say and Christians will believe that, 1. That the mark of the beast is given before the rapture. The popular idea in many church denominations is that the Antichrist will give his mark of the beast before the tribulation period but that he will not be revealed until after the rapture of the church. This is incorrect. Revelation 3:16-17 says, He will cause all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free man and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell, except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. According to the sequence found in the Bible, the Antichrist gives his mark after the seal judgments, after the rapture, and just after the sixth tribulation trumpet judgment and at the advent of seventh trumpet judgment, which is the midpoint of the Great Tribulation, which is after 3.5 years of the final 7 years of the Great Tribulation period. Revelation 13:16 16-17 tells us when the Antichrist causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free man and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, verse 17. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell, except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. The placement of mark of the beast, as mentioned in the scriptures clearly tells us it is immediately following the sixth judgment trumpet. Why are these things important? Understanding brings the necessary knowledge and knowledge brings godly wisdom. The Bible emphasizes the importance of understanding, stating that it is a valuable pursuit and often linked to wisdom. Key verses highlight that understanding comes from God and is essential for living a righteous life, such as Proverbs 4:7, which says, The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. The Bible emphasizes that knowledge begins with the fear of the Lord, and it is seen as a valuable gift from God. It teaches that seeking knowledge and wisdom is essential for understanding and living a righteous life. The word knowledge in the Bible denotes an understanding, a recognition, or an acknowledgement. To know something is to perceive it or to be aware of it. Many times in Scripture, knowledge carries the idea of a deeper appreciation of something or a relationship with someone. The Bible is clear that the knowledge of God is the most valuable knowledge a human being can possess. But it is also clear that simply being aware of God's existence is not sufficient, the knowledge of God must encompass the deep appreciation for and relationship with Him. The Bible describes wisdom as a valuable quality that comes from God, emphasizing that it is better than gold and brings understanding and peace. Key verses highlight that wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord and is characterized by purity, gentleness, and a focus on the well-being of others. In the Bible, wisdom is not just about knowledge or intelligence. It encompasses moral discernment and the ability to apply knowledge in a way that is good and beneficial. Wisdom is often described as a gift from God, emphasizing its spiritual nature. Characteristics of biblical wisdom. Moral, wisdom is demonstrated through good actions and moral choices. Relational, it affects how we treat others, emphasizing empathy and understanding. Spiritual, true wisdom comes from God and involves trusting in Him rather than solely relying on human understanding. The value of wisdom. The Bible repeatedly emphasizes that wisdom is more precious than material wealth. It leads to a fulfilling life and helps individuals navigate challenges with insight and grace. Seeking wisdom is encouraged as a lifelong pursuit, integral to a faithful and meaningful life. In the cases mentioned, the remedy for common misconceptions or an inaccurate understanding of the Bible is godly wisdom, which is the key to godly success in enduring and navigating the end of days and to eternal life. The Bible encourages us to be like the Bereans, as seen in Acts 17:11, where they are described as receiving the message eagerly and examining the scriptures daily to verify the truth of what they were taught. This example highlights the importance of studying the Bible for oneself rather than accepting teachings without question. Your brother and friend, Mike Young.